My name's Rebel Ricket. Je suis Charlie.
My name's Kicker of Elves. Je suis Charlie.
My name's Chorizo Garbanzo. Je suis Charlie.
Fundamental to the British system of government are under attack. The public schools, the House of Lords, the Church of England, the holy institution of marriage, even our magnificent police force are no longer safe from those who would undermine our society. And it's about time we said enough is enough and saw a return to the traditional British values of discipline, obedience, morality and freedom. Freedom from the reds and the blacks and the criminals, prostitutes, pansies and punks, football hooligans, juvenile delinquents, lesbians and left-wing scum. Freedom from the niggers and the packies and the unions. Freedom from the gypsies and the Jews. Freedom from the long-haired layabouts and students. Freedom from the likes of you.
Yeah. Look at all the wars we are fighting, the wars we are fighting. How can we make this a better place? Mother Earth needs a talking, Father Time needs to hold on. The God you believed in was make-believe all along. Jesus Christ, another celebrity, it's a death march. Jesus wouldn't hide you as a friend. Kill the Buddha, grab a burger, we can all make it to the end. I hate people because I see myself reflected in them, reflected in them. So it seems I still have some work to do. Out the crinkles, abandonment issues, therapy is overdue. I'm chasing windmills and posting mountains. It's easier to see myself as illusion than confront and deal. From a heart attack, decent you is all I work for. This stuff for a smile. You are the only one I've loved in all this while.
The Trust the Wizards podcast. My name's Rebel Rickett, and it's my pleasure to introduce the man who says, the poems of the lyricist can express nothing that did not already lie hidden in that vast universality and absoluteness in the music that compelled him to figurative speech. Language can never adequately render the cosmic symbolism of music, because music stands in symbolic relation to the primordial contradiction and primordial pain at the heart of primal unity, and therefore symbolises a sphere which is beyond and prior to all phenomena. That's right, he goes on a bit. It's Kicker of Owls.
I'm a pirate, and I like to steal.
But the man who counters that rather all phenomena compared with it are merely symbols, hence language as the organ and symbol of phenomena can never be any means disclose the innermost heart of music. Language, in its attempts to imitate it, can only be in superficial contact with music, while all the eloquence of lyrical poetry cannot bring the deepest significance of the latter one step nearer to us. So it's going to be a long night. Here's Chirito Garbanzo.
Whatever.
Let's get on with the show. A lot of people get confused about freedom of expression and freedom of speech. People like, for example, the Pope. Now, I may or may not like jokes about anyone's belief, so I have the right to say that to them or others and express my opinion in any way I like. And if anyone doesn't like it, then they can tell me or anyone else in a way that they like that they don't like it. It's a perfect equilibrium of rights. I am right to call you an arsehole, and you have the right to call me a tosser. And our defence of that right guarantees both of our freedoms. That's our power. That's our people power. And what better way to illustrate this idea than a people power ballad? Yeah!
So that was everybody's cone hat wearing favourites, Devo.
Oh yeah,
Devo, and a live version, a very early live version of Mongoloid. But before that, we heard Ballard, of course.
Friend of the pod, would you say?
Our Boltonian friend.
The Bard of Bolton.
Yeah, the Bard of Bolton.
The Bard, the philosopher poet of Bolton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rocking number he's got going there, isn't it?
It's very full, isn't it?
I like that one. On.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it was a bit of that stuff about getting up off your sofa and all that kind of stuff, yeah. But I like the whole feel of it. It's like a kind of garagey punk soul thing. Isn't
how,
it?
How come that song didn't make your best of 2014, Rebel?
Ah, it didn't, because I forgot I had it.
Ah, yeah.
Otherwise it would have been,
Yes, it's a cracker.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, it's off that EP, I can't remember what it's called.
No.
Yeah, so that's helpful, isn't it? I can't, I've no idea.
Was it? Is it about chewing gum?
I've got the phrase, bubblegum. Off the LP, bubblegum, there's Ballard.
Well, we call it bubblegum anyway.
Yeah.
That bubblegum EP.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't.
Yeah, we liked him.
But it'll be available on this website, won't it, Ballard?
Yeah, check him out.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and also check out our interview we did. We did an interview with him a few months ago, didn't we?
On
trustthewizards.com.
He's probably moved on since then.
We haven't.
And we followed that up with
Devo.
Devo. Now, is
now a... I read that was produced by Brian Eno. That's correct.
Hold on a moment. Before we
doesn't
get on,
sound like it's produced before, by Brian.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's produced at all. And the reason for that, it's a live version, as you might
notice that, yeah,
with about 30 people in the audience.
Right.
And it's from this fantastic live LP that I've got hold of, which is called Miracle Witness. Live at the Eagle Street Saloon, which is some dive in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
This is right early days.
Can I have a look at the album?
So when did they release that?
This came out end of last year.
Recorded in 1977, by the look of it.
Yeah, but that's like, don't open that.
Right.
Don't open that.
Okay, it's got kind of one of them, you're like on the top of a cardboard box when you don't want anyone to get in it, you open it four ways. Why can't I open it?
Because, I'm going to ask you a question about it.
Okay, right.
But this is very early, this is before they've recorded any records.
Oh, really?
So this is the sound of Mongoloid before it was Devo'd up.
Right.
Or could you say Eno'd up?
Or possibly Eno'd up. I think it's really interesting because there's obviously a few fans there, and but they get it, and they get it really before they've even become the band that they were going to become.
I don't really know Devo at all, so I don't know the other version. I've never heard that song before.
Have you heard Mongoloid?
No.
But I mean, you couldn't describe. I mean, that sounded like a rock and roll band to me. It didn't really sound like that.
You can
avant-garde pop band that they became.
Yeah, you can hear a certain amount of weirdness in the sort of guitar rhythm,
and of course the lyrical content of the song, which you
couldn't hear.
Could you not hear it? That's whether I know it.
What is the lyrical content?
Well, it's a song about somebody with Down syndrome who lives a normal life, basically.
Right. Okay.
So it's celebrating the normality.
I remember when I was young. And that was one of those songs that, oh Christ, have you heard that on punk rockers? They've done a song going, Mongoloid, they have to say that word in that song. Yeah. But
that was a bad word to say even then. Sorry.
Yeah. But actually, it's a very compassionate song.
It is a huge, and hugely celebratory, I think, as well. Yeah. But the reason I said
What about Jocko Homo? Is that what? Was that a celebratory song?
That's the B-side of Mongoloid, of course.
Is that about a gay horse riding?
I think it's poking fun at sort of jocks.
Scottish. you mean locker room
sporty,
jocks,
sporty
types. I see.
But can you just hand me the vinyl back there?
I can.
So it's hidden away there, and the reason it's hidden away is this is an early quiz question, and this is going to work brilliantly on the podcast, which is purely an oral. What colour is the vinyl? Yeah.
Red.
You're going red.
I'm looking at the sleeve, and I'm going yellow, bright yellow.
Okay. And let's see who's right. Always being revealed.
Bend your breath, listener.
Look at this.
It's not red.
Here it comes.
Ta-da!
It's yellow.
It's not yellow.
It's mainly yellow. It's predominantly yellow.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
With sort of speckles on it.
Yeah, it's splatter yellow.
Looks like the cover of Radiohead LP.
It does, in rainbows it's got a bit like that.
I was thinking more Pablo or Honey, but...
Right.
Okay, there you go. Cool. So, probably my favourite colour vinyl to date.
Wow, and that is, some acclaim, because...
That really is saying something.
you were obsessed with coloured vinyl, weren't you?
I am.
Do you ever buy any on black vinyl?
I have to sometimes, yes. But you rightly point out to me, though, that Brian Eno's had some work done, or has
worked. Has he had some work?
Yes,
has a terrible rumour.
Has various points worked.
He still
with,
looks bald
with Devo.
Yeah,
And I'm not sure if he produced the original version of Mongoloid. I don't know, but he certainly collaborated with Devo once.
I thought he produced the album, but there again, I might be history.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's time for our Eno collaboration? In 2004, and mainly to stop her going on about getting a dog, I bought Mrs. Garbanzo a rabbit. Just before this, we'd done a road trip from Boston, Massachusetts to Canada, and we'd seen a fuckload of groundhogs or woodchucks, or actually the correct collective noun for groundhogs and woodchucks is a colony, but we didn't see that, we saw a fuckload. Mrs. Garbanzo loved these little fellas, but and I did actually go to the point of Googling them, but we discovered you can't really keep them as domestic pets. So shortly after this, we got the rabbit, and around about the same time, we got a digital camera. For our younger listeners, a digital camera is like an iPhone, which you can't make calls on, and it only has one app. This digital camera came bundled with some software for getting one of your videos and putting a different audio track on it, for example, a song. I thought this was good, so I thought I'd test this software out. And when I first got it, and I had this video, I just took this video of the rabbit running around in the garden and playing with some cardboard tubes, and I just paired it up with any old song that happened to be on my hard drive to see if this software would work. As it happened, that particular tune fitted really well with the video, as well as Dark Side of the Moon fits with The Wizard of Oz. That was a decade ago, and I had completely forgotten ever making that video. Until a couple of weeks ago, I was in my kitchen with my MP3 player in shuffle mode, and up comes the very same song. Hearing a song she actually knows and likes amid my selections, that she usually dismisses as miserable shit, Mrs. Garbanzo's ears suddenly prick up. "It's the Bobby Rabbit song," she exclaims. Our rabbit is sadly no more. He's now residing in the great lettuce patch in the sky. So here is There Is a Mountain by Donovan. This one's for you, Bobby Rabbit.
Up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. The lark up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Oh, Juanita, oh, Juanita. Oh, Juanita, I call your name. Oh, the snow will be a blinding sight to see as it lies on yonder hillside. Lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. Lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
The man can't say that higher. Oh, the man mean I can't say that. Then where the police and soldier dead for? Then what when a gunman back me up round the corner? And a police and soldier not dead there. Where I go use for defend myself? Eh?
According to what is going on in the world and society today, it motivates me to do this song I say.
Like a man, you're just a part of Babylon's plan.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me my gun, say me want my gun. Give me my gun, cause I not run. Give me my gun, say me want my gun. Give me my gun, cause my life can't done. According to what is going on today, you have a lot of man
no gun should be around. And when you take a stab, some man go to the ground. Give me my gun, say me want my gun. Give me my gun, cause I nah run. Give me my gun, make me defend myself. Give me my gun, I don't wanna fall off the shelf, yeah. Give me my gun, say me want my gun. Give me my gun, cause I nah run.
If a man, you even steal a Rasta man.
As hungry and as poor as we might be, we desire a good life. But as gone to all things are going on, we need some self-defense, as I would say. Mr. give me my gun, tell me why my gun. Give me my gun, cause I nah run. Give me my gun, say me life won't done. Give me my gun, cause I have life forever. But as God and all things going on, yeah, it motivates me to do this beautiful song of the day. That come and down along, along, along the long way. Give me my gun, say me want my gun. Give me my gun, I'm a life will done. Give me my gun, cause I nah run. Give me my gun, make me defend myself. There is a lot of people out there who would defend yourself and come to a crisis. What happened if a man buck you up around the corner and go for his gun and his stick? Maybe you would have a chance to defend yourself. But until he say you have to run and the man run you down and gun you down. Mr. P, give me my gun for my life will done.
That was Dr. Ali Mantada with Gimme Me Gun, which, of course, is from the fantastic record released on Greensleeves, the album Greensleeves.
Have you actually got the record there?
I've got the record, and it's a brilliant record. Best Dressed Chicken in Town, and look at that for a cover. Is that, or is that not, a fantastic... There's a man with his flies undone.
Oh, yeah.
Proudly undone.
But he's not dressed as a chicken.
He's not dressed as a chicken, no, that's true.
And, yeah. And Sharifa said that because the LP is called Best Dressed Chicken in Town.
Yeah.
So you think the stylist had said to him, just the flies, just a bit further up, you know, want to see those red underpants?
I'm pretty sure there's no stylist. we should say that...
And the bit at the start there, with the bit of spoken word you'd like to translate that from the... From the Jamaican point,
if you would.
He said, I can say what I like, and a member of the local constabulary came along, and he backed me up, and I went around the corner.
Yes. That was the gist of what he was saying.
That's very good, yeah. So it's quite a rare record, this, on Greensleeves, and you'll be excited to know that this isn't on Greensleeves. This is a 1980s re-release on K-Man, which is Dr. Alan Mantado's only...
So, do we know which bit of the song is Dr. Alan Mantado? Is he the guy... toasting over the top, if that's one of these.
That's right, and the bass song is Gregory Isaacs. It's the Gregory Isaacs song, FIFA Man.
Oh, and it's all produced by...
lots of really good producers.
Some of it's produced by King Tubby, and some of it's produced by Black Art Absetta, so presumably Lee Scratch Perry.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think Scientist as well. Is Scientist on there?
The songs.
Scientist,
yeah. Yeah, we are.
Philip Smart. King Tubby's on there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a hell of a good album.
And a guy called Jar Whoosh.
I have a huge problem with it.
Oh, right.
Because basically, it's a political song advocating liberal gun control measures, particular for Rastas in Jamaica.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't living in Kingston in 1978. I can freely admit that. Mm. And maybe there was a problem if you weren't armed. But generally speaking, I am against guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So politically, I've got a problem with it. Good song, though.
Yeah. Good song. And a good cover.
Oh, amazing, yeah.
It's got fucking everyone on this. Jackie Edwards, Horace Andy, and Gregory Isaacs are all on it as well.
Yeah, well, all these songs are based on hit songs from the...
Ah, right, so they're like the dub versions.
Well, they're toasted. They use extracts.
That guy, U-Roy.
That's right.
Yeah, he does that.
So that was on the Keyman label, was it?
I've got the Keyman label version.
So that was the 1987 release.
It's a re-release, yes.
Yeah, it was reissued again in 2001 by Greensleeves, of course.
It does say, all tracks inspired by Jar Feeling Inside. We all testify to that.
As was the Donovan track, I think.
Yeah, indeed. What a moving tale.
Yeah, well,
not unlike the rabbit, of course.
Yeah, but could you understand what was he on about? There's a mountain, then there was a mountain, then there is.
Well, it's Buddhist, isn't it?
Is it?
It's Buddhist. Right. Yeah, it's all about Buddhism. It's because I looked this up because when I heard, I really liked it, by the way. And I think we've mentioned Donovan in the past, and you were quite shocked that we didn't know this song.
Was I?
Hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, you are more familiar with Donovan than us, I think.
Well, I met him once, did I tell you that?
Did you meet him?
I did, I met him once. Yeah. He played at a gig at a theatre that a mate of mine was managing at the time. And I went to the gig, and it was all right. And I met him afterwards. And we only met him very briefly for about a few minutes. And me and my mate met him, and we had a little chat with him. And in that 3 or 4 minute chat that we had, me and my mate came away with completely different impressions of him. My mate thought he was an utter twat, but I thought he was all right.
Right. Yeah.
Is he very Geordie?
No, I don't remember that. No, he was very hippy-dippy in the way he talked. Mm. But, I mean, my mate thought he was a name-dropper. He was desperate to drop names.
Oh, right.
Because he said something. But we were asking him questions.
Did he mention Bob Dylan?
No, he didn't, no. But he did, I don't remember. But we were asking questions about something in the 60s, and he told us how something, and he mentioned something about having gone with the Beatles on their first trip to the Maharishi.
And he taught them to play the guitar.
I think it was his idea to go or something. And he mentioned that in the thing.
Did he?
And my mate was going, well, wank, I fancy mentioning that. Well, he did do that. He made it up.
Yeah.
He did do that.
Actually, you both thought, you being music fans, that you might actually be interested.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's fair enough. But I didn't realise Danny Thompson's on this record.
Is he? Oh, is that the bass? Yeah.
He's on everything, him. Yeah. When I was listening to that, I thought it would fit quite nicely with Finger Bobs.
Well, because of the flute mungus. It's a bit flute mungus, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. But the reason I said it was Buddhist, I've got got a Buddhist saying for it, and I've got a Buddhist joke which I made up.
Okay,
see if you can tell which is which. So the Buddhist saying is: things are not what they seem, nor are they otherwise.
Ooh.
Which I think is, you know, the kind of the mountain or the not mountain.
What are they then?
Well, quite.
Yeah.
So that's the not mountainy thing. Do you know my Buddhist joke?
Yep.
Yeah, go on.
Good answer.
Yeah,
how many Buddhists does it take to change a light bulb? None. The change must come from within.
Very good, very good. And on that, Alex, on that note, do you know who else covered this song?
No.
Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins and his youngest daughter, Hannah.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he was a Buddhist.
No. He did like to ride into the danger zone, though.
You know one song more than I know.
Gong Xi Li, Lin Zhen Lai Sou Ting, The Trust and the Razor Postcards.
Recently, I read a book called Clothes, 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 Music, 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 Boys, 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 by Viv Albertine. Really? To sum up how fantastic it is, here is the first line, right? Anyone who writes an autobiography is either a twat or broke. I'm a bit of both. And then, even better than that, well, not even better, but still as good as that, at the end of the introduction, she says, for those people in a hurry, the drug references are on these pages, the sex references on these pages, and the punk references are on these pages.
Yeah.
It's just very helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much fantastic about the book. I think the most important thing for me is she seems completely honest. I mean, at one point she tells about having crabs in it going up her backside.
Mm.
That's searing honesty as far as I can see. And it kind of reminded me that that's what I liked about punk. And it was that existential challenging of everything, saying, well, if we're being completely honest, Pink Floyd are shite. Also, I think the voice in the book is the voice of the Slits that I like. Because we saw the Slits,
2005?
Was it that? Without
Villa, just before Ayo died. Just a year before.
And Viv Albertine wasn't in it. And they were okay. But their new stuff particularly was pretty weak. And really, the thing I liked about the Slits was that sneering, iconoclastic, challenging, but very, very female way of looking at the world. Now, this particular song, when I was reading the book, I really wanted to hear this one, because she said this was a song that Mick Jones heard and said, I really want to record that with you. I want to get a band together, we're going to do it. And he brought the whole thing together, and what you're going to hear now is what Viv Albertine described as the best day of her life so far. It's Confessions of a MILF.
Left to do. Lovely lemon drizzle cake.
That was I Finally Found the Love I Need by Jerry Green, a.k.a. JG, the Voice Master. And that's from a compilation called Personal Space, Electronic Soul, 1974 to 1984 on Chocolate Industries Records.
Okay. You know, the first thing that struck me about that is I just thought, what a fucking mess that is. You know, you just say, you've got this, like, soul singer, and,
yeah.
You know, he seems like a quality soul singer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they've just thrown all this electronica at it.
Yeah.
That's sort of distorted and gone all over the gaff. And I'm listening, thinking, what are they trying to do?
Yeah, well, what year would you say that was from?
Well, I now know, you see.
Oh, yeah.
It started to make a bit more sense when I looked into it.
Yes.
What is it, 1987, was it?
No, it's early, much earlier than that. It's more like 70, mid-70s, I think.
Oh, yeah. Detroit in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah. And this album is a whole load of soul-type artists making records, a lot of them in Detroit. It's basically people in their bedrooms. It's very early, sort of bedroom techno stuff. And a lot of it is, you know, there's lots of sort of, the early synths, very early synths.
This is what they're talking about in
the drum machine is too loud, basically, isn't it?
I like it.
It
said a pioneering record in the electronic music scene in a wave of drum machine soul tracks that came out of Detroit in the 1970s.
Yeah,
I'd imagine, because in the 1970s there couldn't be many drum machines.
Well, if you think about rock music, I mean, you know, it's only Who's Next is only 1971 or something like that, and that's one of the first rock records to have synthesizers on, and I don't know when the first drum machines were.
I think it's much more interesting than your standard soul belter with the sort of strings behind. And
that's the thing. I mean, this guy was. Of the songs on this CD, that is the most straightforward soul song,
right.
As in the vocal could have been off a Motown 60 song. Yeah. And in fact, this guy Jerry Green was in the Contours,
Do You Love Me?
Do You Love Me? Fame, I don't think he was in the band when they made that. I think he joined them later, but you know, so obviously he can sing a bit, but yeah, it's a bit more interesting than just the standard.
I thought it was great. I really liked it, and I went to look up this album it's come from. It's, as I say, a compilation. What pleased me about this is it's on, I didn't know this about all, have you ever been on AllMusic, allmusic.com?
Yeah.
And they've got this album on there, and it tells you the themes of the compilation, the themes of the album.
Yeah.
And the themes of this album are hanging out, heartache, mischievous, which isn't a noun, and visions.
Yeah,
I thought that sounds all right. That sounds
right up Trust the Wizards. Trust the Wizards. Hit zone, doesn't it?
Yeah. I really like that.
And before that,
I'm really excited because.
So what's that album called then? It's off the album Vermilion.
Vermilion Border.
Vermilion Border.
Someone's going to ask me what vermilion means. Right?
Red.
It's a colour, isn't it? Yeah, it's a colour. Yeah.
That's a bit disappointing.
And is this a recent album? Is this a fairly recent album by?
Which was released in 2012.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, there's so many incredible stories. About it, isn't there?
Well, the book is a must read. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is, and a very easy read and brilliantly written. As you say, incredibly honest, but also massively self-effacing. I thought as well.
Mm.
You know, she is a proper musician, and you know, for people who are interested in punk music particularly, you know, an icon in lots of ways.
Yeah.
I think it'd
yeah.
be fair to say she never comes across as anything other than just a normal person who sort of lucked out by being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
She totally underplays all her songwriting ability, underplays her guitar style, when actually you think there's a lot going on there. It made me want to go back and listen to The Slits. It also made me want to go back and listen to this album, because I'd listened to this when it came out, because it had really good reviews at the time. And at the time I thought, it's alright. But once you get the backstory, it becomes so much more meaningful.
Because it's beyond, that song is beyond autobiographical.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is exactly what happened to her.
Yeah.
But it's her tearing her previous life apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And tearing her poor husband.
Well, I don't have much sympathy for the husband.
Is that from the book, you mean?
Yeah.
But so I don't know the backstory because I haven't read the book, but judging by that, she was a busy mum, a busy housewife, you know, expected to kind of have
health issues,
the perfect, be a housekeeper or whatever, homemaker.
Well, because she didn't have an income coming in, and he was making the money,
Yeah.
He's thinking, well, I'm making money, therefore you should cook and clean and keep the house nice and bring the kids up and make us look like this perfect middle-class family.
Right.
Which isn't unusual, is it?
Mm.
But, you know, she had this desire...
I wouldn't know, I don't bring much money. But, yeah, I'm sure I can imagine that people might...
The interesting thing is, it's about that artist within... Mm. Who wants to create? Who's bored with doing
that? Well, she'd stopped it, hadn't she? I mean, she'd removed herself from it quite deliberately, I think.
Because she'd been ill.
Yeah. Well, she'd been ill, but also, I think she thought, well, this is not good for me.
Yeah.
And she'd removed herself from the sort of the rock star, pop star lifestyle, and she was living in Surrey or somewhere, somewhere, you know, very un-rock and roll.
Yeah.
Something in her was still, I've got to do this. And she tells all these tales about going to play these tiny little clubs with like one person there, with just her and a guitar, and playing the song for the first time. She hadn't even played it before she got there.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow, that punk spirit was still there. And what a tremendous album. Can I just say, I put this album on again, as I say, having read the book, and I was in the car listening to this with Mrs. Elves, and who, you know, she likes what she likes, and she doesn't like anything I like, basically. But she really liked it. She took the CD off me. She had it in her car, because we often go separate ways. And I said, well, you know, what did you like about it? Because it's not necessarily always an easy listen, the whole album. And she said she's found that as she's got older, she's kind of doesn't listen to songs with lyrics, because it's kind of meaningless. So she's moved to more classical music or instrumental music. Because the lyrics are kind of meaningless, and they don't say anything. She said, this is the first album she's heard for years that she felt, these are really grown-up lyrics that actually are worth listening to. The musicality is quite naive, but the lyrics are really powerful, and that's from someone who doesn't listen to, you know, a lot of it, which really moved her.
Not knowing the backstory, but just listening to the song, as in just assuming this is a woman who's kind of fed up of being, you know, a homemaker, and in that bit where she shouts, "Shoes off!"
Oh, that's brilliant.
Just so she sounds like absolutely demented in that bit.
But
isn't it demented? Isn't it pretty demented that people spend all this fucking time and effort to make their house look perfect, and then but you've got to live in your house. You know, that's what it's for. A house is for living in. You know, and people they buy a new table, and they say, "Well, don't put anything on that table." You know, well, what's it for then? The table is for putting stuff on, and you might scratch it. Well, yeah, you know, it's a table. It's not for looking at.
And it can be lived in.
And I think now more than ever, you know, all this fucking bullshit that's thrown down people's faces, you know, all this twee... Let's pretend it's the 1950s with fucking Bake Off and fucking, you know, but and fucking...
Bread! Who eats bread?
No, but you know, they don't make bread on Bake Off. I've never seen it, but they... it's all fucking... You know, let's make this cupcake and then let's judge it. I made a cupcake and it didn't quite rave properly. You know,
that's the entertainment. Yeah,
but it's all about kind of... Let's kind of... You know, so if someone's coming around your house has to not only really look perfect, you have to paint the perfect fucking pavlova. Or
I hate to cut you off, when I come, you don't often invite us around, but when I've come around, I've thought, what a pigsty.
To my house?
It's not welcoming. You know, it's just, you could do a little bit more in terms of, you know, tidying up a bit. Curtains, can we have curtains? Could we,
a roof? A front door, maybe?
Yeah, the pot, kettle, black.
Hello, hello, what's coming here? Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I can't recall you ever making a meal in your house.
Well, you've never been there long enough. You come round to my house, you fall asleep in a drunken stupor, and then you get out before anyone sees you.
So I don't have to talk to anybody.
Usually taking stuff with you.
Well, people are obsessed about, you know, you get these women on telly.
I'm still finishing.
I haven't finished. These people on telly who kind of obsess about cleaning up your house, and you, everybody's got to have everything perfect. You've got to have a decor, your garden's got to look great, and all these aspirational bullshit TV shows. And like people who have a B&B, what's that one with the people who have a B&B? Someone goes around their house and they go into a B&B and they stand on a chair, run their finger along the top of a wardrobe, and go, "Well, there's dust in there." Well,
Who the fuck does that when they go to a B&B?
You've got your hand up over there.
I'm just testing.
I need to explain that. So the listener won't know that you put your hand up. Yeah. You're going to need to say me. But it's all bollocks. I went to school with a family, and I used to go around their house. Bear with me.
You went to school with a family?
Yeah. I went to school with some kids who were in a family. And I used to go around their house. And their house was, quite frankly, a tip.
Yeah.
But I didn't give a fuck when I was a kid. I don't give a fuck now. Yeah. The house was a mess. There was piles of magazines all over the place. There was piles of books, lots and lots and lots and lots of books. Bits of paper, more papers, documents, loads of LPs. And I guess the parents now would be they'd be put in a box and say, they're hoarders. Mm-hmm. You know, let's make a TV show ridiculing them. Yeah. You know, so it was, dust and everywhere. Those kids, they were healthy kids. You know, they never had days off school because they were ill. So why do we spend all this time and effort cleaning our houses? Well, why, you know, because it's not like it's going to make you all that unhealthy if it's not that clean.
No, I think that's a fair point. And then
obviously, you clean your cutlery and things like that.
There's a school of thought, isn't there, that all this obsession with cleanliness and you know, cutting it all out, all any possibility of a germ existing in the house has actually made children much weaker and much more prone to asthma and, you know, all these things.
But not doing the exercise.
Well, there's that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, also the business of, like, someone's coming around our house, we better tidy up, you know. Have you ever been to someone's house and you've walked in and you go, well, I had a nice time around the house, but I couldn't help noticing there was a bit of dust on the table.
All yours, to be fair.
Yeah, I've reported back from
your
house.
And anyway, can I just say, next time you put the cup down, use the coaster. And of course, shoes off!
It's time for some correspondence.
Correspondence Corner.
Yeah, Correspondence Corner. Do we not have a little
jingle for that? Yeah.
No?
Do we not?
No. Oh, well.
Yeah. But we did.
Go on. Make one live. Make one live.
Correspondence Corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
can I just say, what a fat bag you've got there.
Yes, indeed. I've got a bulging sack. I think we do that joke every time. But anyway, it doesn't get any worse. Two people who were on the Best of 2014 podcast got in touch to say thanks very much for including them. Nice. Josh Woodward sent us a message going, "Hey,
are you underlining the fact that he would?"
Josh Woodward.
He would.
Yeah.
Josh Woodward.
Yeah. Would. Josh Woodward. No, that's what he'd be called. You are Woodward.
Okay.
Iwawuwa.
Incoherence Corner.
Well, it's a joke, isn't it? Why has Edward Woodward got so many D's in his name? Because if he didn't, he'd be called Iwawuwa.
That is true.
Hey there. Woohoo. I saw that a while back. He saw that he was on our podcast. Oh, no. I was very honoured, especially with all the other good company on the list.
Yeah.
Many thanks. I really appreciate it. Also, from Paris, we got a message from Clementine from the band The Water Babies, whose song Late in the Evening was also on our Best of 2014 podcast.
Very good.
Hello there. Happy New Year. Oh, thanks so much for your message. I'm deeply sorry I went to Australia during a whole month. Or maybe I'm deeply sorry I went to Australia during a whole month. But I stayed in remote places without connection. Thanks so much for your attention and including Late in the Evening in your Best of Music 2014. I imagine it's a bit late now, but our band is releasing our first album very soon, and we'd be happy to hopefully play in England as well. So give them a plug for their album, cool. Water Babies. It doesn't say on here, but it's coming out soon, and they have a Bandcamp, so it'll be on Water Babies Bandcamp.
Okay.
And I asked them what their favourite music of 2014 was, and they said, well, amongst others, Love Letters by Metronomy.
Yeah.
And thanks very much. And then a regular listener, Daniel Eldring, wrote in. He's currently in Nicaragua.
He's the one who criticises me all the time, is that right?
He doesn't. No. He doesn't. In your imagination, he does.
Sensitive, even when he's definitely not criticising me.
Yeah.
I do feel that I'm his least favourite wizard, but, you know.
You've never met him, and he's never said anything to that effect.
No, but I still feel that.
But, okay.
Between the lines there, let's read this very carefully.
Okay, well, anyway, he's just been listening to lots of his podcasts. He's a Dutch fella, but he lives in Nicaragua at the moment.
Has he sent you a Dutch letter there?
Or a French letter. No. It's just been going backwards through the Trust the Wizards parts.
Not a French.
Just listen to podcast number 30, where you were talking about Frank Zappa. I am quite the fan, although not as rabid as I used to be. You remember on that podcast, you played some Frank Zappa, and I said I liked one album and that I might like to listen to more, but I wasn't sure what. So he sent me his, here's my Get You Started suggestions. Jazz and prog rock tendencies be damned.
Yes.
So he said Apostrophe and Overnight Sensation. Yeah, yeah. That's the one I already have. So he's also recommended One Size Fits All, Hot Rats, which is your favourite, isn't it? The Grand Wazoo.
Oh, yeah.
And Waka to Waka.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. He says basically the mid-70s stuff. He says that this turned out to be my favourite period. After years and years and years of listening to the mustachioed one while smoking copious amount of weed. He is Dutch. And something that Frank Zappa himself loathed. Strangely enough, he loathed weed smoking.
Oh, okay.
He says his second favourite period of the band is the period right after that. But he said get yourself into that first, and he signs off with the cheery and note, Sandinista.
Yeah. Okay. Zootalore.
The other thing I wanted to tell you about, I don't know if you noticed, but we had a little Twitter conversation on Trust the Wizards with Buffalo Tom.
Ah, before you go there, can I just say that I also had a message on Twitter, because feeling hearts are kind of hard done by much of the response that we get.
True,
we're being fairly negative towards me personally.
Yeah.
And sort of
you seem to be the least favourite wizard in your paranoid head.
I do feel that.
Yeah.
But I did get a message from Stephen Jones out of ex-Baby Bird, who tweeted that he loved me, and I love him back.
Well, he's never tweeted either of us to say he loves us, so no, that must mean... Does that cheer you up? Does that counterbalance
it
against the imagined slight that has never been given
it
by
does
any other of our listeners?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry,
no, it's fine. So, Buffalo Tom, and the reason, there's a big reason
why
I mentioned
that. Why were you talking to them?
Well, I wasn't. They tweeted a picture of Mick Jones, who we've already mentioned tonight, playing a guitar. And he said, this is a picture of Mick Jones playing my guitar in 1997 or whatever. And I've never washed it since. And I then replied, saying, cool photo or whatever, and saying, what was he playing? And he then replied to me with a YouTube video.
Oh, right, okay.
Showing that he was playing, and he was playing a brand new camera.
Okay.
I thought, I know we've had a few Twitter conversations, but I thought that was particularly worthy because, I don't know if Rebel knows this, but there would be no such thing as the Trust the Wizards podcast were it not for the band Buffalo Tom. Do you know why this is, Mr.
No,
Rebel Ringgit?
I have no idea.
Do you know why this is?
No.
Because it relates to you and me.
Does it?
Yes, it does, yeah. Let me tell you then.
Yeah.
I used to work in a place, we won't say where that is.
No. The deepest, darkest parts of hell.
Yes, but I used to work in this place, and to be fair, at this place where I worked, though, I didn't like any of the people that worked there.
Yeah.
Anyway, one day this new guy started.
He gets that a lot.
One day this new guy started, and I assumed that I probably wouldn't like him either. However, one day this new guy, who is Kicker of Elves,
hello,
for it is he. He came into the room where I worked, and he noticed by the CD player in the corner of my room, he was kind of rooting through the CDs, and he picked up a Buffalo Tom CD that was lying there and had a conversation with me about Buffalo Tom. And then I thought, well, if you know this guy knows who Buffalo Tom is, maybe I'll give him a bit of a chance. Maybe he's not as dislikable as most of the other people who work in this place.
Well, you must have took one look at him and just assumed he was.
Well, I think that, that's probably...
I get that all the time.
Yeah, the first impression was just looking at the state of him and thinking, he looks like an absolute twat. From that tender moment,
yes,
a beautiful friendship emerged some years ago, and then, and then I met you, and the rest is podcast history.
Yeah, there's tears in our eyes now.
So I think we should, as to celebrate this, we should play a song by Buffalo Tom.
To thank him.
Yeah. Then.
To meet with her. She could
Listen to it. Like it, man. Fucking like it. You will. That was the sound of Waterboarding, which is appropriate because now we're going to review the new album by The Waterboys.
Excellent. Good link. Seamless.
And the album's called Modern Blues.
Modern Blues, yeah. And the front cover, you've seen I've actually forgot to bring the CD in here, but
I'm looking at it here.
It's basically what do you think it looks like?
Well, I thought it was like a sort of a scarecrow type creature with lots of leaves and camouflage.
Any particular kind of leaves you think that one is made of?
Green,
very green.
Green and brown. He's got a penis.
Has he?
You know, so
he looks like a man made completely out of marijuana to me.
Oh,
man made of marijuana.
Is that
Martin Kemp? Martin Kemp.
I got the joke, I'm just not laughing. The album.
What do we reckon? Do you want to go first? No, you don't.
To be honest, the last few Waterboys albums haven't really struck home with me.
Do you know my relationship with the Waterboys?
Yeah, go ahead.
Waterboys. My relationship with the Waterboys are that song Hold the Moon,
mm-hmm.
I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
I think most people did, to be fair.
Played quite a lot, didn't it?
Just a few times. Bought the LP that it was off. Didn't like it.
Right.
I was in a pub, right? It's my second relationship with Waterboys. Mm-hmm. I heard a song called, it started up in Fife ended up in Tears.
Bang on the Ear.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
great. I've been looking for that bloody song ever since.
Right.
I thought it was fantastic. I don't know where it came.
Fisherman's Blues.
That's the album after This Is the Sea, the one you're talking about. Yeah,
because I thought, well, get on, because that other one got it, wasn't it? It wasn't.
Yeah.
And I've never really figured out,
Is
that your tale of them? Is that it?
Oh,
you didn't try very hard, did you?
No, true. And then I've not heard anything by them since this arrived.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they lost a lot of fans after, because, you know, they had that kind of thing where they were widely tipped to be possibly the next band to go, U2, or the Simple Minds, the next band to go global with their big music kind of sound, and then they kind of just went completely in the opposite direction and went very acoustic and folk, country, gospel, made, you know, seven albums worth of stuff, which got compacted into that Fisherman's Blues, and a lot of people I know really hate them to this day for that. They felt they just started making this fiddly-diddly type of music.
Fisherman's Blues.
Yeah.
I mean, my tale with the Waterboys.
Uh-huh.
I like that Fisherman's Blues album.
Okay, great.
Now there was one of the I think half a dozen tapes that me and Mrs. O'Ells had when we lived in Germany.
Yeah.
And it was played a lot, and we knew all the words to that. Fantastic album. And I don't really know why I gave up on them, but I kind of did. And then they played Liverpool, I don't know, must be 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. They've probably played it since then.
Yeah.
They played the Philharmonic in Liverpool. And so we decided to go because we thought, oh, they'd be playing, you know, all the hit. And they played, I think, everything off the current album at that time, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it sounded almost like heavy metal to me.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed.
Yeah,
But I still love Fisherman's Blues.
I've got another bit of my relationship with Mike Scott, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been on a program with Mike Scott. I forgot about it. Yeah. Because I was on that Jackie Levin thing. I wasn't a person, obviously.
Yeah.
And Mike Scott was on it as well, because Mike Scott was having a malaise and he was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so his management said, meet this guy, he's really interesting. And he did meet him. He really liked Jackie Levin. It made absolutely no difference to his career. He was still nosediving even after that.
Yeah.
Well,
this is their first album for a while, is it?
It's, it's the first album for a while, yeah. The last one, they've had a few, which...
Was it a heavy metal album they did? Was that my take on it?
No, but live they can be... I mean, he kind of veers. He's a bit like the guy from the Eels in some way. He kind of often veers between, you know, sort of a more acoustic, whimsical kind of thing,
and then
the sort of New York rock type thing.
Okay.
And this is a bit of both, the new album, really, isn't it? There's a bit. It's more towards the sort of. It's not rock, though. I mean, there's not. It's not heavy rock.
Are you saying rock
R-A-W-K? It's not that, is it?
No.
But it's rock, and in as much as Chuck Prophet is rock, or Bruce Springsteen is rock, or Bob Dylan with a band is rock.
I don't know. The Celtic influence, I think, is lost a little bit.
Well,
I think that guitar sound that he gets almost all the way through it is a bit Thin Lizzy-ish.
Especially on the opening track with the dual-tracked guitar kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's I thought exactly the same thing myself. But yeah, it's not an acoustic album, is it? Like,
no,
it's not. It's not a predominantly acoustic album like some of his ones are.
No, that's true. Although the song that I probably like the best, which is the one which sounds, I think, a little bit Van Morrison-y. That's again, that's more to do with the musicality of it rather than the his voice. Or
which one
like
is that?
Nearest Thing to Hip.
Nearest Thing to Hip. Which that is a bit more acoustic, isn't it, than some of the other songs are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I personally thought it's the best thing I've heard from. There's an album. It's a Mike Scott album though. That sounds just like the Waterboys. He did his first solo album was all acoustic, just him and an acoustic guitar, and that was pretty good. I saw him live at Glastonbury around about that time, and but then he did another album. I think it's called Still Burning, and that's got some really good songs on it. And that's for me. That's where. What makes or breaks an album by the Waterboys is the lyrics are very often, and I think the lyrics on here there's some interesting stories being told. Mm.
There are some. I agree. I think there are some very good lines, and I think there's some very trite lines as well.
Well, I was going to say
it's a real mixture of the two.
Yeah.
The Beautiful Now. First time I heard that, you're beautiful then, sweet angel. Mm. You're way more beautiful now, and you think, Christ, he wrote that down.
Yeah.
He's still carried on. But now I love the song.
Yeah.
You know, but it's supported by everything else.
Yeah, but that's kind of like again, that's just a little payoff line at the end of the thing, a bit like a sort of Bob Dylan Blood on the Tracks kind of era stuff, where he's just kind of goes on and on and on, but he's just got this little refrain that comes back at the end of the verse because the story goes all over the place, doesn't it? And it's not just a pure.
I'll go with you on that. I didn't pick up what.
Is that the same? Is that the same song as the one you moaned like a woman and gave great head or something? Oh, that's a very poor line. But as I say that, there are other really good lines in it, none of which I can remember them. But I do remember thinking, "Oh, that was very clever." So I mean, I think there's a massive.
How did you both feel about the "I Can See Elvis" song? Because another one I didn't
like the impression of Elvis in it. I thought that was unnecessary.
Oh,
at
the end.
Yeah.
And to be explained to the listener, without at the end of the song, he says, "I can see Elvis," and he says stuff about, and he's playing with
Hendrix and Keith Moon.
And is that the one where he says, "And John Lennon's there doing handstands"?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And at the end of the song, they have someone doing the impression of Elvis who says something like, "He's going to come back to life and he's going to kill Colonel Tom Parker," or he's going to, or something like that. That's the.
Is that at the end? Because there's certainly, I think there's a bit in the middle, a little bit where he does his a little bit of it. Obviously, he does not very much of it.
Right.
And then the song then continues. So what's anyone's
doing? Oh, no, this is right at the end.
All okay. I think it must be twice he does it then.
Yeah.
But it's a great tune, that.
Yeah.
And great guitar sound. And I kept starting to forgive the ideas that I thought were a bit trite at the beginning.
Mm.
Because I'd absorbed and really enjoyed the songs.
Mm.
Long Strange Golden Road. Yeah,
is that sort of like a long epic. Riff all the way through it.
Yeah, it's like 10-11 minutes long.
I quite like that.
I thought that was stunning, absolutely brilliant. I thought the first. It's a funny album for me. There's a big dip in quality in the middle, and there's two songs in the middle which I tired of very quickly. The girl who slept with Scotland.
And
Rosalind, you married the wrong man. Yeah.
That's total unnecessary use of the word Rosalind in that, isn't it?
I'd just say that whole song was fairly unnecessary. It's just a bit of a throwaway kind of thing, but without any good jokes in it. I mean, a bang on the ear, this song you mentioned before, could be described as a throwaway thing, but it's got some good jokes in it. And actually, I heard him being interviewed a while ago, and he said that actually a lot of that is true. There's real people with real names. But I thought the beginning of the album, the first three tracks, Destiny's Entwined, November Tale, and Still a Freak, absolutely brilliant. As good as anything he's ever done. And they include Hole of the Moon and in that. And the very last track, again, Long Strange Golden Road, which is a bit of an epic. And that's very sort of, it's a story, it's a weird story, don't quite know what's going on. It's very Bob Dylan.
It is. Yeah. Well, in fact, you said, because you sort of recommended that me and Rebel should never listen to this, and you said that last song, you thought Chuck Prophet as well. I can hear that, I mean, in the way that he's delivering it, the line, the cadence of it.
And it also reminded me of the last track off My Aim Is True, Waiting for the End of the World, in the way he's telling this kind of story of these people going on this journey, and you're not really quite sure what's going on there.
If that would have been the LP that had Hole of the Moon on it,
you might have stuck with it.
I would have definitely stuck with it.
So are we going to play a song then?
Yeah, well,
We got your vote, haven't we?
We got your, you wanted to play Nearest Thing to Hip.
Nearest Thing to Hip or the last song.
Or the last song. Well,
I would Destiny's Entwined, which is the first song.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't mind any of those. So shall we
flip a coin.
Heads or tails? Right.
Tails.
Rebel?
Tails.
Okay.
That just went straight up and down.
Why are you complaining? You've won.
I've won! Okay.
Here's this the Water Boys with the nearest thing to Hip.
A few blocks away, open 7 days, called the Brilliant Mistake. We're a crow-haired girl with scarlet lips and slender hips, served up coffee and cake. On a crackling stereo, the ghosts of Sun Ra, Charlie Parker, Miles, and Coltrane Blue. I'd kick back in my chair, that sweet honeyed jazz in the air, and the sun shining through. It was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone, it was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone. Well, everywhere that I go, I see streets that are low on distinction and high on the banal and the bland. Did we get to this? We plumbed the abyss by the twisted grace of the law of supply and demand. Well, there's no use crying and no use sighing over stone, wood, wire, glass, and cement. With a wooden floor that ain't there no more, that I used to frequent. It was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone. It was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone. Bar that I once knew, with an old fashioned barman wearing old fashioned clothes. But when I get there, it's being bulldozed. So I follow my nose down Comatose Lane through the strip back, ripped up wastes of woebegone square. I find myself on Deadbeat Street, my feet beginning to ache, despair in the air. The only thing bright in this blighted town are the billboard adverts everywhere displayed like mocking shades. The dusty second-hand bookshop is now a scum-encrusted amusement arcade. It was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone. It was the nearest thing to Hip. It was the nearest thing to Hip in this shithole. And it's gone. We'll be right back.
Out we jumped in the warm, mad night, hearing a wild tenor man's bawling horn across the way, and hands clapping to the beat, and folks yelling, go, go, go. And far from escorting the girls into the place, Dean Moriarty was already racing across the street with his huge bandaged thumb in the air, yelling, blow, man, blow! And a bunch of colored men in Saturday night suits were whooping it up in front. And the behatted tenor man was blowing at the peak of a wonderfully satisfactory free idea.
So that's all from the Trust the Wizards podcast this week. We'll be back in a short while with some more musical mayhem and frolics. For tonight, from me, Rebel Ricky, it's good night. And from Mr. Kicker of Elves,
good night.
And Mrs. Sharifa Garbanzo,
good night and God bless.
See you soon, listener.